Let's call this meeting to order. Public Works Committee meeting Tuesday, October 16th, 2018, 6:03 p.m. I apologize for the tardiness. There was no carbonation to my LaCroix. I had to make a phone call. Citizens' comments. Kidding. All right, minutes for correction approval, September 18th, 2018. Any comments or corrections?
Good.
All right, new business, Public Works 2018-86, meeting scheduled for 2019.
That's good.
I have no plans for 2019. That sounds good.
Yeah.
We okay with that?
Yeah. Does that have to go to City Council?
I think each committee just approves it, and we approve a citywide calendar.
Public Works 2018-87, Capital Improvement Projects Update.
That's your typical quarterly update. Be happy to run through anything if any of the committee members would like. Pretty standard.
That's good.
And the so behind Mongolian 211, that whole building is flat. It's two more parking spots, or three more parking spots, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. Did you guys keep the window from the door?
We got the sign that says Water Department, well number three, though.
That's the one, yeah. It's so cute.
We got it.
Okay. I love that. Cool. That was information only. All right, number three, Public Works 2018-88, bond and letter of credit reduction quarterly update.
Yeah, similar story. Typical update. Be happy to address any questions.
Looks good.
Yeah.
So what is the remaining balance for Casey's for? That's going to be there until after 34 is done.
So that is the 1 year maintenance value that's held back. So it's 10% of the original public improvement estimate.
Which is funny because 7,600 is right about the amount of money I've spent on breakfast pizza so far. moving on, Public Works 2018-89, 2018 Sanitary Sewer Lining Program.
All right, this is a change order. Our typical ones that we do at the end of the project, kind of a balancing change order. So this will be number two and final, and it's actually a reduction in the slightly more than $9,700. And I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Reduction is always nice. There was an increase to 120, and now it's a reduction down to 110.
Yeah, we added some additional work down in Raintree to do some repairs. So there's just some quantity in the overall project that was not
increased. I think 120 was the original estimate, wasn't it? Or they came in lower than the estimate?
Yeah, the original bid was lower than our estimate, yes, correct.
So we had a little room.
Cool. Consent?
Mm-hmm.
Public Works 2018-90, Yorkville Christian School grant of easement.
All right, the school needs an easement. There's a public utility and drainage easement, also ingress egress. There's an exhibit that is attached to the memo. So we've reviewed it. Everything is acceptable and certainly recommending acceptance of it.
Okay.
Good.
Consent? Mm-hmm. That
gets them off to Ashley Road then, so that's their entrance.
That's an emergency entrance only at this point. Ultimately, there's a time frame
mm-hmm. yeah.
that commits them to building that. Yes.
84 months, 86 months, something like
that. So they've submitted a schedule, a cost estimate, we're continuously
pressing. 5%. Whatever.
So far, it's fine.
Public Works 2018-91, Cedarhurst grant of easement.
All right. There was a small section of easements that we did not catch. There was a fire hydrant that needed to be included. So this is just kind of a catch-up item. But a small area that's needed to add the fire hydrant into the public utility easement. So we're recommending acceptance of this item also.
Do you eventually combine this little tiny easement with the bigger one so you have one document, or are you always going to have multiple?
It'll be multiple.
Multiple, always.
It's the littlest. It's the littlest easement. It's so cute.
Still important.
Still, yes. Yeah. It's not the size of the easement that matters. It's the
importance.
It's the importance in public safety. And that building looks incredible.
It does look big transformation, yeah. Isn't it?
It looks incredible. Yeah. So there's a is there a courtyard in the center of it?
Looks like something.
That looks,
boy, I don't remember the details.
I believe it is.
I think so.
When you look in the front, and even though they have like the plywood doors right now, when you look in the front, you like you see basically an entire like courtyard area. That's it's really cool in that corner. All right, consent okay? Public Works 2018-92, Grand Reserve, grant of easement.
It's a grant of easement evening here. Yeah. So this particular one is needed to add some provisions that allow pedestrian and bike trail provisions to be included on top of the existing lot. So as part of the Mill Road improvements, we're going to connect a trail that currently ends at Tuscany Trail to an existing one on the west side of this lot. So just a minor item, just kind of a point of clarification. The Bonte group has signed off on the language, and they're fine with it. They've actually executed it and sent it back to us, so just waiting approval from the city.
The trail will be nicer than the roadway.
Well, it's going to be going in at the same time, yeah. So depending on timing, that
might
be
true. Nice.
Consent?
Yeah.
Public Works 2018-93, Prestwick Highlands at Ashley Point Subdivision proposed dormant SSK.
Christy's got a memo in the packet, so it's the first step in creating the backup SSA in the event that the homeowner association goes defunct. So it's similar to the other backup SSAs that we've done at this time. So she's got a nice timetable on the second page of her memo. So you basically start it by proposing it, you do a public hearing, and then you do a final ordinance establishing it at some point in the future. So this is the first step in the process.
Do they have an HOA right now? I mean, there's only like one or two houses, right?
They may not. So it may still be under developer control. So this would be if the subdivision fails to build out and they don't maintain their improvements. So we don't necessarily care who maintains it as long as somebody's maintaining it. So it's possible that the developer could maintain it for the next 25 years. But this is in place in case.
Because I was thinking like Briarwood over there, Grider. He was actually key guy in there because he owned all the lots, even though they weren't built on yet, of that HOA. I think there was a one time I remember that being a
issue.
And they had people, had homes, weren't in the majority even of the...
Yep.
I just wondering how this is going to work.
That happens in every subdivision. And it gets a little hairy from the time, about the time the developer wants to turn it over because that's when everybody starts asking all the questions of if everything's up to snuff.
So we're basically having the existing property owner who hasn't sold all the lots to homeowners yet consent to the creation of this SSA. So that's why we're able to do it now before a lot of the lots have changed hands. So we actually made this, I believe it was a component of the annexation agreement where they had to agree that we would start this process and get it in place that way. You know, 30 years down the road, they don't dredge their detention basins or they don't naturalize them correctly, you can step in and take over if you want.
This is the new developer that we just agreed to the sale. Are they...
Well, they agreed to put, what, 100 homes on?
Yeah, and I don't know how many they've actually taken down so far. I know that they've closed on some of the lots, for sure. But this SSA would just be across all properties, whether they were owned by Cape Albanian or the existing developer of the subdivision.
And their successors.
Yes. Yep.
Is there a signage in the front as you come in that they'll be responsible for too? Or is that, or that will be responsible, or how this works to work out?
Whatever common area improvements they construct and that are available within the definition of the ordinance that they put up, we would have the ability to do. So we may not require them to put up an entrance sign.
Okay.
If they choose to and then choose not to maintain it and it's an eligible improvement within the ordinance, we would have the ability at a future date to go forward and replace the sign if we wanted to. detention basins would be one of those things that are a legal requirement for drainage laws and drainage purposes. They would have to install and maintain those.
Consent? Okay, then. Oh boy, here we go. Public Works 2018-94. Pavement Management 5-Year Plan. I'm so ready for this.
All right. So the city entered into a contract with IMS in April to go out and basically redrive all the streets, rescore them, if you will. So a similar, you know, story to 2012-2013 when they previously did it. They take a look at it. They look at the not only the surface, but they also look at the base, and then they provide the data. And enter it into the software. That's where my office and Eric take it from there and basically take all the data and then ultimately get to the plan. But just a couple of highlights on the summary. So, you know, some things to note. There's been quite a bit of work done in the city since 2012 or 13, actually about 46 miles of streets, which is pretty incredible, have been paved. Since then, a number of that 24 miles is within subdivisions that either went forth with acceptance or the city took the funds and completed the work. A number of reasons why, and certainly other projects as well, such as Road to Better Roads, has been like 12 miles of street paved and what have you. So pretty good track record there. The number of miles in the city has increased a little bit. The amount of unaccepted miles has gone down, which is understandable considering the amount of acceptance that we've done recently. So bottom line is the overall rank has gone from an 82 up to an 87. So that's somewhat a little bit misleading. That number is a little bit inflated because of all the land development, paving that was done. That's what the bottom line is currently. We did put together a couple summary bar graphs, if you will, that kind of note some of the categories and the amount of miles of street within certain areas. That's kind of noted behind the memo. Certainly there have been quite a bit of improvements made, as pointed out, by the amount of work that was done. So currently, the city in the last few years have been averaging about $700,000 per year on an annual basis. If we kept up with that budget figure, basically, the pavement rank would go from like an 87 down to an 82, which certainly isn't the end of the world by any means. 82 is still a pretty healthy number from a, scoring standpoint, if you will. But we did take a look at a little bit larger window because there's quite a bit of street, like 26 miles of street that are in that fair or good category. So over time, those are all going to drop down into areas where they're going to need some improvement. So over a 10-year period, if you look at it that way, to maintain a score around 80, you're going to have to spend about roughly $1.5 million a year. So. That's just something to consider and to note. So, we took the data, worked with Eric, and kind of came up with a 5-year plan based on the $700,000 just to start with. And that plan is attached. Just a couple things to note. Mill Road, which certainly is rated one of the worst rated streets. You don't have to, harp on that too much. Everybody knows that. We took that out because that's going to be funded by the developer, Avante. So we took that one out. Baseline Road, also a poorly rated street or roadway. And at least in the past, we haven't wanted to spend any money on it, so we also backed that one out. But it is, it is degrading. There's going to be a point where a decision is going to have to be made on what to do with it. And then the Corneals, I know Eric has had some discussions with ComEd. This is kind of the western section of Corneals. If you recall, a couple of years ago, ComEd funded the repaving of Corneals on the east side, basically from their big station out there heading east. There had been some discussion about doing that to the west, too. So I know Eric was going to follow up with them and see if they can...
Be sure to help me?
Yeah. See if they can get funding for that.
At the time they did the eastern section, they were still working on the site and using third or fourth accord deals. So
yeah.
That was the hope, that we could get them to make that when they were.
So there's a lot of data in the packet. Certainly, we had broken it down into a recommended 5-year plan. So there's the series of spreadsheets that show that. Also, the various exhibits that kind of highlight the program. We also put together the different scoring exhibits. One showing just the surface rating. Another one showing the overall rank, and then a little bit of history, which is a good one to refer back to and look at as well. So probably at this point, be happy to answer any questions that anybody may have, or anybody wants us to get into any more specific detail, we can do that.
Just a point about the agenda items before we get too much further. This is typically the time of year that we review next year's Winterbed Road Plan.
Yeah.
So the fiscal year 20, street rehab plan is on page 58 of 237 on the PDF packet. And so either this month or next month, we would recommend that you tweak that or endorse it as recommended. That way we can start some of the engineering associated with water and sewer mains that I'm assuming are below some of those roadways, although I don't know which off the top of my head. Correct?
These actually should not.
Yeah,
these are all pavement only?
These are all pavement only.
So is there even any engineering, or is it just design engineering for the roadway?
Just for the roadway.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So that makes it actually significantly easier.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So we try to bid it out in the spring, so we would still recommend it by next month, but
yes.
There won't be water and sewer main contracts associated with it.
Yeah, not associated with these streets, right?
Great.
So this time around, besides the testing with the machine, wasn't staff going to actually look at the roads as far as traffic and that kind of stuff this time? Because last time we kind of just went all off on our schedule, went off of the machine test for the road types. I thought, though, this time we were also going to consider on the decisions about how much roads traveled, like the major artery and stuff like that. I thought, I remember when we were going to do this study again.
Well, I think that's taken in, but certainly not what contractor does. But
okay.
I think that's something that, we take into consideration, if we have to choose between a highly traveled roadway and maybe one that's less traveled, well, it might make more sense to invest in the highly traveled one. So
I think I'm thinking of the Greenbrier Road.
Sure.
That's probably the only main entrance to three subdivisions.
Sure, right.
Yeah. I just was wondering, it looks like it's a few years down.
Correct.
It's in pretty.
So, in Greenbrier, and without having participated in the discussions for why ones were, slotted in which year, but the current rank is in fiscal year 22, it's on PDF page 60, of 78, it may be more or less advantageous to let that one slope a little bit further. Just depending on that, it's the graph where certain components it deteriorates quicker, depending on the age, and then also you might be able to do surface coating and crack sealing and catch things with preventative maintenance. And then it also might be geography based. So it looks like most of those are on the south side of town. So,
Eric, you guys had to tear the intersection up, didn't you, just recently?
We took out, we're going to have to put back two little patches where we
did the sidewalk. Yeah, I noticed they chopped out about right where the T is.
Yeah, close to the entrance to Briarwood and to the senior center.
No, but they're also, when you get up there to where you turn left to go into Sunflower, our guys must have went in there because they put a whole big chunk of pavement down there.
Oh, they patched it?
It looks like, a big section of it. So that's what made me think about, the condition of the road.
Sure.
So whatever we had to do there, we had to do it.
And we did that to probably preserve it, to try to prolong it. Because Greenbrier Road, when it was originally constructed, was what they call lime stabilized. So that base should not deteriorate. That'll just be the wearing surface that deteriorates, which is good.
Yeah, I guess the other thing to keep in mind also is typically we bring a list of streets back on an annual basis. So
right.
Conditions change, they change differently than what the model predicts. Mm-hmm. So, you know, there may be some streets that, you know, just for whatever reason deteriorate quicker than others. And then, so there's allowable time and what have you for adjustments to be made. You know, certainly there is some grouping to make, try to get, you know, projects together, because you don't want the contractor to be picking up his paver and moving across the river, or moving from, you know, one side of 47 to the other side and kind of going back and forth, because it just costs money and it's very inefficient. So certainly there's grouping that's done to try to keep projects tight together, if you will.
And we have moved streets up and back in the list as they've...
Yeah, I was saying.
Just a question about kind of projections on this. So we know what the conditions are now. We've had some time to kind of evaluate these numbers. We know what happens to roads over time. Have we done anything in terms of projection besides just the $700,000? Have we looked at neighborhoods? You know, we know that there are areas that are coming online 20 years of age that within this plan, we're going to see a lot of subdivisions that are coming up to their life expectancy.
Yeah.
Have we looked at it in that aspect of, we're going to have a whole section of communities through your regional areas that come on?
Absolutely.
I would love to see that.
As compared to just factoring the budget of $750,000 or $700,000, looking at it on that side of an issue in a bell. Because we're going to, I think that's really going to be what's going to happen in a few years, okay, is we're going to see that bell of those neighborhoods coming online.
We agree totally, and that's why Brad touched on it a little bit on page 2 of the memo in the middle. It shows where if we don't, if we keep spending that same $700,000,
right, we're going to have a deterioration.
We go way down,
which is going to drive that cost.
So,
up.
In order to kind of mitigate that bell curve a little bit, to bump it up to $1.5 million for the next 10 years,
and that's what I'd like to see is, so if we're here at
$700,000, what that does,
what do we do in the next 5 to 10 years?
That
does
is,
that bell get us up to maybe 1.5, and then we come back down to, you know, 300, 400, 500,000.
I think it stays at 1.5 for quite a while,
for
because you
while.
Have
because
areas,
of all of those
Auburn Creek, yeah, the Heartlands.
That's
the
what I would
trees,
really like to see.
Cycle in 2 replacements when you do that calculation. I know we talked about it when we did the original study.
We can run different scenarios, yeah, as well.
Yeah, the one we ran, and we kind of, you know, if you look at this graph too, mm-hmm, the red one. I mean, basically, there's 26 miles that are in poor or fair.
I know, and those are going to be the ones that are in our 1 year, 2 year,
yeah,
maybe,
yeah,
3 year.
Yeah,
but then once we get past that,
correct, then those are dropping.
That fair and good are now going to be there.
Correct.
Yeah,
and I'm looking at
34.2.
You know, yeah, 18.5 and 34.2.
Right.
Yeah.
That's a lot bigger chunk to take in a couple of years.
We can do many scenarios. We can run.
And that's what I would maybe look to see.
We can run 1.5 million for the next 5 years. You can run a score of 82 for the next 5 years. You can run what you want to see, but I don't think we can go 10 years. I think.
Well, we ran a 10 year scenario. So, keep it at 80, you would have to spend $1.5 million a year for 10 years.
For 10 years, so there's no.
So after the end of the 10 year period,
that's based on current road conditions.
Well, that projects deterioration.
That projects deterioration.
Okay, and so we have a calculation,
correct,
for anticipated standard deterioration.
And it also,
correct,
accounts, I believe,
correct,
inflation is put in there as well for the cost.
Yes, yeah.
So it's 3%. Knowing that we're going to have these communities.
Correct.
Because that's going to be, I mean, when we start looking at these,
and you
as
can,
a neighborhood as a whole, it's,
yeah,
probably going to be something we're going to do neighborhoods.
You can see
it
on here.
I would that information now, like each subdivisions, because what's Fox Hill? How old is that one?
That's one of our oldest ones. 93,
yeah,
was the first.
And ours, Sunflower and Greenbrier, they're probably late 90s.
The first
late
one was
90s.
95, 96 was Greenbrier Road, and then 97 would be the subdivisions themselves.
You're looking more for an age of pavement and aggregate for the entire subdivision,
yeah,
relative to other
subdivisions.
How is
that going to play into it? Because, you know, Fox Hill, that's going to come to age. You know, we've had issues in certain roads because, you know, your collectors, Cottonwood.
And John.
John. Those are going to go first because they're your primaries, but the rest of the neighborhood, it's going to happen all at once, pretty much. It's like my neighborhood and the, you know, forgetting about Whispering Meadows, it's in the Zone of East, but we've got mine in Cannonball Estates. That area there, aside from the two main thoroughfares, the rest of that's all going to hit at once, but that's not for another 5 years probably. So that's the end of this cycle.
Yeah.
So I'd like to kind of get a feel for that. What do we have for just age of pavement?
Can we do aggregate scores based on a geographic area in your system?
Yeah. Okay. I think so.
We'll try to put something together.
Just, yeah, I want to, because that bell, that, you know, I know we can say, yeah, let's budget for $1.5 million, but...
But the bell just never ends.
Yeah.
It just keeps going.
And that's going to be the issue is that I know...
Does it make sense to, when we're talking about going to 1.5 for, you know, a decade or so, does it make sense to keep with the current schedule of 700 budgeted for the onesies, twosies that you have on there, and then the other 700 dedicated to, like, cranking out a whole neighborhood?
And that's maybe what it's going to have to come down to, is we know these individual roads are always going to deteriorate.
Looking at all of the bars, if you don't want to keep on swapping them from... High grade to low grade, we're
going to
have to kind of step up our
game. It's a dance every year.
Yeah.
You get it to fit in.
Because what we don't want to do is have 8 of us. Well, my road's worse than your road, so I want it statistically based. I don't want us jockeying for who's going to get, you know, $100,000 for a road project.
Right.
Because the concern I have, then it won't be very long, and then what Howell's Rain Tree.
Exactly.
And you have these other ones.
The same way.
Yeah.
You have the Autumn Creeks. The large ones.
Yeah.
So this, it would make sense to have justification for why we're going to double spend, more than double spend, for the next decade, and to be able to look at it from a standpoint of doing what we've been doing, where there's the Road to Better Roads, but then there's like the Road to Better Roads on crack, I should say.
Right. It's the neighborhood management.
You're taking chunks, because I think we learned with Whispering Meadows that if you attack it in such a way where there's going to be the economy of scale, but then it's just, you can kind of wipe that off. I did notice on here that Benjamin is on there as binder only.
What page?
That's the one off of Van Emmon, right?
Yeah, they did every street, and we are going through and getting those off of there.
Yeah, okay. There's a few cleanup.
But then did they actually bring the machine through, or they just used?
Yes,
they
did, really? Well, they did drive.
What page is that? Page 64. It's the pink just south of the river.
They went around the chain, I guess.
I was going to say. How is the machine like a truck?
Yeah. It is. It's a van.
It's a van.
It's a van that's got a series of bars on it. There's some surveillance guy in the back seat.
Super.
Yeah.
So can we bring this back? Next month?
Yeah, absolutely.
And then this is something that when we have our goal setting session in a couple weeks here, this is like top five in my opinion, because if everybody has to feel the brunt of what Whispering Meadows went through for a decade, we're going to have a really ticked off community. So I'd much rather get on top of it now and just budget for it, plan for it.
And then, I agree, just the one other, we took baseline off of this. What would be our plan or our thought on that?
So the plan is still in the budget to close it, to throw up barricades, do whatever engineering you have to at the part of it, and just tell everybody else to go elsewhere.
Just
The lone resident, who's not a Yorkville resident, who lives on the stretch of the roadway, is rumored to be... Oh, there's two?
There's two. There's one just to the west of the bridge on the south side, and then the other one.
Further
down.
Does
that connect into another street, though, that goes around?
Go around.
No, the one to the west does, the one to the east does not.
Yeah, we have one resident up there who's moving, theoretically.
Yes.
We've heard. So, there may be no residents on that road at some point in the future.
Huh.
So, or they could have a long driveway.
Yeah.
It's a little ridiculous.
Yeah.
It's a long road.
Yeah. Isn't that the one that also had like a supposed neighborhood? Like there's a PUD up there?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, the whole strip.
The whole thing was...
All the way to Ash or all the way
No. Not quite. There was concepts for...
3/4 of the way to Ash.
Yeah. There was concepts.
Yeah, there's...
which is how it became ours, right?
Yeah. From 47. You have one...
Leave on the corner.
So they're in, you know, they have made it kind of conceptual. The further you go out, the least.
Which is how we ended up stuck with this farm.
Yeah. Because
they didn't have that development
in the Crane of the States.
Yeah.
Except for the honeymooners.
Yep. It was.
All right, come back with it then. And then we'll plan on making sure that we're all on the same page as far as making it a priority for next year, 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
All right, Public Works 2018-95, Capital Improvement Plan, 5 years. Turn that fan off. Drying out. Thank you.
All right, so there is a draft capital improvement plan within the packet. So this is just kind of a result of you know, something that we've been working on for the last several years, so it's constantly being updated. So we sit down, you know, of course, with Bart and Eric and Rob and Aaron and kind of put together a list of projects. And then, you know, on an annual basis, we update it, move things around, whatever the case may be. It was suggested that we modify the format a year or so ago. So you'll, you know, see some documents that look a little bit different. There's a little bit more detail, some graphics and what have you that have been added into to the detail sheets. So again, there's quite a bit of information here. You know, we could certainly go through certain ones if you'd like, or go through all of them. But just something that's kind of a list of projects that's still evolving. You know, but obviously it's part of the big part of the budget process, and you know, it's a good start to what we have.
So these numbers that say unfunded. What's the reality of that?
Yeah, I think some of those is just kind of as budget discussions happen, then those will be kind of moved around a little bit. That still has to be fine-tuned, you know, with
parts. So it's like almost $12 million?
Yep. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It depends on the individual project. So the first one is $4.8 million for well number six. And that was assuming that we're going to stay on the deep water aquifer. You know, we would need that additional capacity, and we hit 25,000 population,
yeah,
thereabout.
Or Fox River intake, that's part of the Fox River intake as well.
Oh, it is? Okay.
It is, because we get rid of seven, but we still need the water supply.
Okay. So that one would be funded through water rates, you know, whatever fees you end up charging, however we figure out what we're doing long term with that. You know, a lot of the, like, Road to Better Roads tagged stuff there, even if it's on the water or sanitary side, are things that we know need to be done. They're overdue. We've talked about them. They show up in a budget memo, but we haven't been able to fund them yet, just from a capital projects perspective. So, you know, we've been knocking things off the list every few years. And so, you know, there isn't necessarily a guarantee that we'll get to it in the five-year plan, but we know that it's on the list as needing to be done. Route 47 North improvements, the second one from the bottom there. That's roadway. That's just our, you know, share of the costs for whatever the state does their construction project. So you've got it in there as within the five-year plan, but that's our best estimate based on IDOT's most aggressive schedules, and assuming that they put it in a roadway plan at some point in the future, which they have not done yet. So, you know, that $250,000, even though it's unfunded, you know, theoretically that's going to be paid over a 3 or 4 year period. We probably would be able to budget for that. So each one has its own, you know, probability of being funded, and or, you know, just risk that we're not going to be able to do anything with it, depending on how large it is and whether we have to do it or not.
What's this radio read meter retrofit? It's like halfway down, but it's in the water.
So we've talked about that as part of, we talked about a little bit under performance contracting a year ago, and we've seen other towns have not gone the performance contracting route and have instead just bought a whole bunch of meters and then installed them. So we've talked about that as an equity issue in town and a revenue issue. You have older meters, and as they get older, they spin slower, mm-hmm. and so they undercharge people. And so for people that move in recently, it's not fair for longer-time residents to be paying less for water. So theoretically, you go through and you make sure that everybody's on the same page, has new and accurate meters, and then also you're capturing all the water usage and revenue for your water fund. So that one is unfunded in that we haven't decided to do it yet, and should we choose to do it, it would probably be revenue neutral in a relatively short amount of time. It's just a matter of, you know, do we want to do it in-house? Do we want to hire a whole bunch of contractors to do it? Does everybody want to put up with 6,000 residents, you know, calling us and asking us, 6,000 households calling and asking us, you know, hey, when are you going to do this? Why are you doing it? You know, I miss this guy. I miss this letter. I don't want to do it. You know, being able to project manage that is a little bit of an issue. So that's that one.
It's a $500,000 to paint a water tower.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That, is that inside and out?
Yes.
Yeah, that's correct. In the pool and out.
They got to drain it and then sandblast it.
The inside, yeah.
Yeah.
Prep it, make sure it's all.
And prep it. The new paints, thank God, are much easier. It's a lot less sandblasting now. It's a lot less prep work, but the paint's more expensive.
You know, with that paint, are they going to use something that's an antifungal?
The Tanumic is all antifungal. Yep.
So we're going to have less growth on
them. You have a lot less growth now. Even
it's not
going to
stop.
Yeah, a lot of rust. Dust.
Oh, yeah.
When the tower sweats and it's just, you know, in the agricultural area, it's just dust everywhere.
Uh-huh.
It looks like mold, but it's dirt.
Yeah. So, and unless you get really, really good rain.
But would mold on the outside of a tower impact the water content?
Negative. It's 1-inch thick steel.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. 1-inch thick plate steel.
If you ever want to see something fun, I've got a video of the Oswego Tower being taken down. Question on WM10. That's sub-regional water implementation. Is that our current, the studies we're going through with our Oswego, the $60,000 over 3 years, or is that on our side more specifically?
I think that was specifically... if we elected to do like water quality testing and things such as that.
Yeah. So it would be outside of our intergovernmental agreement studies. But then the next line is the $400,000. That's land acquisition. That's actually for the regional water study. If we're go for a... well, that money could be used for either one.
Correct.
Lake Michigan or for land act for a regional system.
Correct. Yep.
But that's what we're intending in a couple of years... from where we're at, expecting a couple $100,000 going
each year. Right.
Okay.
For land.
Yeah, we actually have that money budgeted currently. So to the extent that we don't spend it, you know,
it just keeps moving back.
Yeah. You just keep moving back, right?
Well, yeah, or if we make a decision not to buy land because we're not going to do a Fox River water intake,
then you're just the $1.4 million for the well. That kind of thing. Mm-hmm. We can reappropriate if we decide we're not going that route.
Yeah, there's plenty of unfunded ones.
And at $60,000 of engineering, that goes that way.
That was...
just different.
Just moving it.
And that was for some like initial, if you're going to go on the river, there's some water quality testing. There's some upfront items that were recommended. So that's what that is.
Yeah. So that's the implementation of the water study.
Correct.
Okay.
Nothing related to AECOM. DuPage Water Commission, that's all.
Right. I mean, we've all paid for
bonus
those,
projects.
Right.
Yeah.
This is looping the water main that and east end of Orange Street and Olson Street. What does that mean?
Right now, Olson, Orange, are two dead end water mains. Mm-hmm. Just putting it down a side yard and connecting them loops that water and circulates it and keeps it fresh.
Because you don't like it. It's not a good practice to have it go down and stop and stub.
Right.
So is that something where you have an idea of all the water mains in the city, which one's dead end and which one's not?
Oh, yes.
Yeah. We still have a whole bunch that's dead end?
Few, not nearly as many as we used to, because we required everybody to loop the system and not have dead ends. Most of it is in the older parts of town.
Which is where this is.
Correct.
Yeah.
Are there any more loops that are on this particular document?
I do not believe so.
Yeah, I don't think so. I think most of the water main is old 4- and 6-inch water main. That's well overdue for replacement.
Seems like it'd be something that we would want to implement as a quality of life issue.
Most of them are. That's where we're trying to clean up the last ones.
Yeah, then
we
would improve water.
That are at the end of our system. They're at the end of our lines.
Yeah.
Does everybody like the format though? The multi-page document. I know. I think we showed an example of Downers Grove.
Yeah.
We talked about it under goal setting session, but this is the first time that our data has been input.
No, I like it a lot.
And it's actually even better if you print it out because you could just have your key here.
Yeah.
And sit here.
Yeah, like individual packets.
Having this chart is nice. For the quick reference and then the detail getting into it.
Yeah.
It is extremely helpful internally. I will say that.
Yeah, just I put it in a binder. Awesome.
And we're good with our sanitary lining. I see there's nothing on there. Sanitary lining for INI. That's
we've done the south side, and that's where the big test was. So now we're going to put the money into the Orange Street replacement.
Just that.
Which is where that was also part of that study. Yes, instead of lining, and so that's to replace.
But that's going to basically finish what we feel is
pretty close. So we are almost done with the what is it, the 2009 study. Yeah. We're almost done addressing the major items. So we have a couple more replacements, and
that's going to fall in on these actual itemized projects.
Correct.
We're not lining; we're replacing.
Correct. And what I know Eric and I have spoken to YBSD is trying to get some updated flow data. Mm-hmm. You know, did we make a dent in some of the I&I?
Yeah, that's kind of what I'm getting at for now is...
Because the big issue that we have not addressed is lining of the sewer services. Mm-hmm. Studies show that there's quite a bit of infiltration that comes in through those services, but they are very expensive to line, $5,000 a piece.
Yeah.
So do we want to spend
those that you have to do
right,
for
exactly.
the old neighborhoods right along?
Yeah. So I guess where we were going is, YBSD, get us some more data. Do we need to, and then let's use the data.
Is that the kind of thing that would come up with next year's?
I think so, yeah.
Okay.
Absolutely. Yeah. They have their own flow meters now and have some drum boosters, so they are monitoring different areas.
Yes.
Yeah. Constantly. It's really good working with Cyrus. He's really on top of that stuff.
Are they using the same system, the SCED, or are they using a different program to...
I couldn't tell you which program they're using exactly.
Okay. I don't know if it was...
Yeah, they move their flow monitors around, just collecting, data.
The WW05, that's the replacing the sanitary sewer in topic with the 71 improvements.
Yes.
This is the one where, this is sanitary, but the water one, that was where you had.
The water was under 71.
Yeah, and you did something different where you.
Yeah, we did.
Pointing to the side of the,
we just completed that project, actually. We put pressure reducing valves in the subdivision. To get most of the water main off of Route 71, so we just didn't have to remove it. So we hooked up. We hooked up two pressure zones and created kind of a blend.
So there still remains a little bit of work that'll be on IDEC's contract on the water main side, but far less than what we had originally thought because of the work in Fox Highlands. Then there is sanitary sewer that has to be relocated, and that line item is just exactly what you were referring to.
So when you relocate a sanitary sewer, especially along a meter roadway like that, do you just swap sides? So right now
it's moving a basket.
Yeah, I think
further into the easement
because it was going to be right within the 40 curve line.
There's
40
foot.
Yeah,
it would be where it is now would probably be under pavement.
Yeah.
So they want to get it out of the pavement.
Yeah.
Because that's going to be fully expanded into a 4-lane.
Correct. And turning lanes, right?
Yeah, it'll be a 5-lane cross section in most spots, all the way to 126.
And then someday all the way to Orchard.
Should be starting in the spring.
Yep. You'll see...
That to me boggles the mind. I drive it a lot, but the only time it's ever congested...
Two times a day.
Morning and evening, when people are...
The Ottawa train, then.
Yeah.
But the only time that it's actually congested outside of that is when the other roads that they're working on are being repaired.
Yes.
I've never... I don't know.
Or a school concert at the middle school.
Yeah, it's
horrible. And probably if it would have had a good turning lane and some width and, side, it wouldn't be near as bad as...
It's all relative. I mean, it still violates IDOT's own policy for two-lane traffic counts.
I think so.
It's just that 47 has been so bad for so long that it doesn't seem like 71 is bad. But if you were to just take it based on IDOT's own standards.
Yeah.
Now, the big thing there, too, is the rate of speed. I think people tend to fly down that road, so.
I don't remember what the traffic counts are. I just remember when we were talking about the different sections of 47, we basically determined that, the section they were working on was one of the least traveled sections within our immediate planning area.
Yeah.
So.
Any further questions on that one?
So that's a good document.
We do ask for a vote. I think we usually adopt the CIP each year, just under consent agenda, if for no other reason that we can represent that it's the CIP.
Okay, I'll accept it.
Included in the budget. So. It does mean that it can't be changed at any time and that we don't disregard it.
Right, it's like a changing document.
Yeah.
At this point in time, on October 16th or 23rd, when we talk about next week,
this is our best estimate.
It is what it is. Could change by November 2nd. Okay. Public Works 2018-96, budget amendment for the radio purchases.
Okay, the RFP is in the packet. You don't have to approve the RFP. We are going to put it out as long as you're okay with the budget amendment associated with the project. We want to buy the 21 or 22
and a
handheld radios, which will allow us to talk to each other when we're not doing snowplow operations or any other public works operation. We held a survey of public works guys after last year's snow event, and about half of them said that they would like to have radios. The other half actually said no, they would not, so they must like the relative silence that there is now when they're out in their truck. But we think that it's good from an efficiency standpoint that, you know, one supervisor or one employee can, you know, get on the radio and talk to all 25 of them at once. And say, here's what we're doing, here's where we're going, etc. So, we used to have radios, we don't now.
So what do we do right now?
They either call each other on the phone, or they set up to meet, and, you know, at a specific time. So, I mean, they do give each other updates, but, you know, when something goes wrong, truck goes down or something, not that everybody would abandon their routes and go help this person, unless if it's in a, you know, an extreme situation. But there is some efficiency in saying, like, you know, hey, I'm in this part of the route, and, you know, yeah, I can swing through, I can pick up this part of the subdivision. And to have that sort of real-time chatter, I think, is very helpful.
It so. Is. It's invaluable. It really is. It it helps us actually plan. If they're 2 hours in and a truck goes down, they know that they're going to have to jump back when they're done with their main roads to go grab those. Keep in touch with the guy who's down and see when he's going to be back up, if they can go run back to theirs. It just makes it much easier than, even though it's hands-free, you still have to hit the button, find your contact, call this person, and it's one person. Then you got to call four more.
We did get quotes. We've demoed and selected models and units.
Correct.
And some of the quotes were just below $25,000, some were just above. The cost, depending on where the bids come in, would be split between water, sewer, streets, and parks. So each line item is, I think, between like $5,000 and $10,000. Yeah. And there's a couple departments that can easily absorb that just because other projects are getting deferred. But there's a couple of them that it might be close. So we prefer to just do the budget amendment. If the quotes come in under $25,000, as long as the budget amendment is approved, we'll approve it at staff level. If not, it'll come in front of city council for a vote.
And there is every bit of information you ever wanted to know about two-way radios in there.
Yeah, that's a lot of information. When we do approve the final purchasing contract, can we learn some radio jargon?
Right. Actually, with this being two-way, it's private. You can just use regular. You don't have to use CB lingo.
Hey, bro, you're kind of popping on.
Yeah.
So when you rode around, did they use your phone?
Yeah.
You rode around the snowflake.
Yeah, they didn't. Like, that's when I walked in. I'm like, dude, there's no. This is boring. I just listened to 104.3. But these are portable units. Car chargers are included in the thing.
I believe so. I'd have to look.
If not, they're like a 9-hour battery.
Yeah.
Again, way too much information.
29 hours.
Yeah, just 29 hours on a
battery charge. So.
That's no iPhone.
And these have the ability to reach any extent of our city.
We actually tested them, and we can reach tip to tail, which is the big one.
Do they have the ability to reach our planning area?
With another repeater, more than likely.
Okay.
It's just you have to put the repeater in.
So they can reach our municipal limits, but to get to the planning areas,
if I don't want to
for some reason,
yeah.
Well, it goes so far south and west. No, it won't get all the city limits because I don't think it'll work on Sleepy Hollow.
I mean, think about it. If we're sending somebody out for a truck maintenance issue, if they're outside of our jurisdiction, and, you know, do those areas reach? Do they work for that type of thing? You know, big deal if you have to get on your phone once in a while, but
right.
Convenience wise, do we reach our areas if we're on a
response for an emergency situation with another municipality? Do we have the ability to, you know, communicate in Plano, Montgomery, or Oswego?
It depends. Honestly, it's going to depend on where you're at in Plano. If you're in the old part of downtown down by Foley Park, no.
Because I'm thinking, you know, north-south, if we've got that.
Right, but we also have, you also stay high. If you go down downtown, there's probably some spots, some spots where there's not. So if you get behind the, you know, in a hollow or...
We've tested our area.
We had it last year for most of the winter. We had a, I remember the repeater was right at the shop, just on a very small antenna that's right behind the building. And that's all we needed.
And then follow up. So if we're going to put these, you know, on each of the staff, do we have any staff that are that have these cell phone contracts that are being reimbursed for those that would not need that necessarily anymore?
No.
No one's taking that? Okay, because I know we had the offering of.
We have staff that have taken cell phone reimbursement, and we have staff that we still give cell phones to. This would not...
That wouldn't affect them. That's
good.
And then the last one. So these have GPS capability. Mm-hmm. I know these are handheld, so you know you can have them on your person, but is it something... Are they able to track the vehicles?
Track the radio. Track the radio.
So if we say... You know, while you're on route, you know, you can be tracked. Does it have the ability to give you data, like tracking log?
Or like how fast the truck's going?
I'm looking at...
Where they.
I want to look at efficiencies of plow routes and...
I think with this you would have to, like, refresh the page and see which way they're going, and we could tell you...
So it's not like a data tracker? So
I don't think it's a data tracker.
That's more just for, like, pinning a location.
I was hoping that maybe we could get to the point where we can actually start... tracking the truck routes, our vehicles, our mower crews, see for efficiencies. Is there something better we can do?
I think ComEd and the gas company's trucks are all...
They do that.
Yeah,
you know, like UPS did a wonderful study years ago that determined that they
only turn right.
Turn right. Yeah. Because of the efficiencies of traffic.
And that's also a myth.
Right. Right. But they do traffic studies. There are a lot of them that will figure out.
I have a neighbor that won't drive. You know, his truck's his park. He won't drive because he says they will actually make it.
What you notice with UPS is you'll have one truck deliver a package to this one, and then you have a different truck deliver across the street, but for some reason, it's efficient for them. You know, they can have the same one. It depends on where it's coming out. We still, I just, you know, maybe there's some efficiencies on our snow routes or other services we're providing. I didn't know if that was something that I could track.
I think it's just a ping to see where they're at.
Which we wouldn't use that then.
The cheapest snowplow tracking systems that I'm aware of are, you know, I think at minimum like $50,000, potentially more. I'm familiar a little bit in narrative, not necessarily in observation, with Naperville system, which is like top of the line. And I forget how many millions of dollars they spent to install it. But it is like... They can tell when a plow is up and down, where they've been, how fast they've been going.
How much salt they
spray. Like, you can track it based on, like, you can preset the course, and when they deviate, they, like, know.
You know. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
Their route's loaded in for most
time. And that's probably more from, like, making sure that they're properly delivering services, because it's such a big area that it is for an efficiency, but there are
that's
some
more than where I want to be right now, but, you know, I definitely would like to maybe look at that.
See the point. Pac-Man on the screen?
I can learn to understand you much better if I can get familiar with the way.
Siri wants to get to know you better.
Yeah, it's like Siri, that's Adele.
Okay, we're going to go Cortana.
Cortana.
Well, thank you. Talk about Siri and she gets angry.
Question on Sycamore. When they finish 34, how far south on the Sycamore do they repair?
As far as I can get them to repair.
Okay. Do you think it will include around the island?
The island will be gone.
Oh, thank God.
The island will be removed.
Yep. Have you tried to turn left into there with that single lane? With the island there?
You should try the truck.
Oh, I can't say that I have.
It's tight. Man.
Oh, but no, the island will be gone.
Oh man, that's almost as nerve-wracking as when. So the gap between New Road and the old road, when you're on 34 going west at Cannonball, and it's dusk, and you don't know if you're driving over nothing or actual pavement.
We'll scare the first couple.
Try going left onto Sycamore at dusk. off of 34.
And do a lot of oncoming traffic.
Oh, my God.
And then all of a sudden you see a curb.
Yeah, because a guy called me, and he was like, do you know what I just... what's going on? And he, it was, like, the lights were on, it was dusk, and he was turning left. And he had gun it because there's only so much room. He goes, what are you going to do? I'm like, I have no idea what you're talking about. I'm actually on the way home from city council. I'll do it right now. And I called Julie, do you know? Oh, I was terrified. That, like, that's some
that
serious.
Will be gone.
Oh, man.
Okay.
That will just be striped.
So yeah, that'll be striped.
Will just be striped.
That, that's it'll be asphalt medium. All the way? Or are they going to do concrete all the way past?
A little bit of the approach will be
concrete.
Concrete.
And the rest will be asphalt.
Yeah.
Oh, thank God. That is...
That was the same at Deal Farm. We removed that one.
Yeah.
Marketplace. We're
yeah, I saw that one. I was waiting on a little asphalt patch. I drove.
Where at Marketplace?
Right next to the bank.
Between Sunfields and
Sunfield
Fifth Third.
Bank, yeah.
Oh,
there was that one. It was
yeah.
wide in the
yeah,
morning.
Yeah. Yep.
And McHugh we took
there.
Back as far as we could.
Okay. Yeah.
We have to leave that up there
yeah.
because
yes.
of the exit out of Blackstone is too close to Route 34, so you need,
you need
to
it.
Make that one way only.
Uh-huh. And if we had any... complaints or updates about semi-traffic around Casey's along the queue?
Hmm. Not to my knowledge, I have not.
I thought they were going to be blazing down the street.
They're going so fast, nobody can see.
Nobody can see.
What did everybody decide on the radio purchases? I think you got sidetracked.
Yeah,
good.
Good.
You went right into the...
So, approve? I mean,
consent.
Is that the agenda for the budget
yeah.
amendment?
If everybody's okay with that, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Rob isn't drafted. He's drafted the materials, but they weren't in the packet. So,
yeah.
They'll be in there for Tuesday.
Buy your radios. I just want to play with them.
Time for a good one.
Any other additional business? Marlo's probably like that. Need to join?
Next thing.